Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Schanowski, I heard what you said.
Mark Schanowski.
I've seen a handful of different times where there was video of him lighting up Jamokes in pickup games.
NBC Sports Chicago Bulls pre- and post-game host.
Mr. Carter to you.
The most interesting man in the world.
I'm coming for you, man. You heard it here first.
Mark Schanowski with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
About a little basketball talk with Mark Schanowski. He's on Twitter, at Mark Schanowski, NBC Sports Chicago Bulls host and analyst, and he joins the Bernstein and McKnight show. We were looking at the secondary ticket market for Bulls-Grizzlies tonight, and let's just say you want a seat, you can have one for the price of a couple of cups of coffee. So this is games like this, Mark, have me very, very concerned that this tank is going to fail like last year's tank failed.
You mean the return of Joakim Noah and Justin Holiday doesn't do it for you?
I'm sorry.
That's just packed to play, shouldn't it?
I'm sorry, it does not. But I'm genuinely worried that even if they wanted to, they're not going to be able to get Zion Williamson.
Well, you know, with the lottery odds flattening out, it's just going to come down to blind luck. There's no real huge advantage in finishing with the worst record. Of course, you'd want to be in that bottom three just to improve your chances ever so slightly. But, you know, that day on May 14th is going to be a pivotal point for the franchise. Whichever team is lucky enough to get Zion Williamson is going to have, you know, a new energy to their whole operation in terms of not only on the court, but in terms of their marketing operation. So, that night, I'm sure the night before, I don't think Gar and Pax are going to sleep very well because they know what's at stake.
Mark, the Bulls have one of the best offenses in the NBA over the last week and a half or so. How?
Well, probably because they don't guard anybody. They get the ball right back.
Okay.
The opportunity to score on the other end. There has been, you know, they've been pushing the pace a little bit more over the last month or so. And I think adding Otto Porter really does give them a legitimate NBA starting unit. And the problem is they can't sustain that once they go to their bench. Porter is going to help them in terms of floor spacing. He's going to give them another option, a guy who can create a little bit off the dribble. And I think right now, because no one guards anybody in the NBA, they've kind of just fallen in line with the way most teams are playing. I don't think it's a radical change in anything they're doing. I think it's just a matter of playing better spacing and the fact that nobody's defending.
Do you think that Jim Boylan is done tweaking things yet? Because it just seems to me that his defense, he's just got these principles, these thoughts, these ironclad beliefs. Yet on offense, people can kind of have his ear, where he starts out saying, well, we're going to take the contested two-point shots. And then it's like, well, okay, maybe we'll shoot a few threes. And now he's saying, well, maybe I will let the guy that grabs the rebound actually run the floor. There were some legitimately interesting offensive moments in the game against the Bucks, who are a legitimately good basketball team. What's next for this rapid evolution?
Well, I think the biggest issue right now is they can't defend at all, and they don't really have the personnel to change any of that because their best rim protector, Wendell Carter Jr., is out for the season, and Robin Lopez in the modern game is not going to be able to get out and switch on smaller perimeter players. So the fundamental play in basketball, which is a high screen and roll, they have a difficult time stopping, mm-hmm. and they're not really good in transition either. A lot of that is just sense of not getting back and not wanting to play hard enough. You know, the game against Washington last Saturday was, I mentioned on the postgame show, it's like a early preview of the All-Star game. Basically, you know, you can score on me, I'll score on you, we'll just run and dunk. Boylan even admitted there were like 25 blow-bys in that game for his defense. And I mean, that's indefensible. That's an issue that's going to continue all the way through the end of the season, because when you don't have anything tangible to play for, guys are going to want to get theirs on the offensive end, but they're not always going to show that same effort on defense.
So I heard you and Kendall on a post-game show talking a little bit about Zach LaVine running the point, or at least being, you know, de facto point guard in some of the offensive sets. Wonder what you think about the way he's been able to work it over the last handful of games versus how he had to work things in the first 3 weeks.
You know, I just posted a video breakdown on our website showing the better chemistry between Levine and Markkanen. And if you want to be encouraged about something, and God knows we're searching on Trade Post, I think we're seeing a little bit of growth in Levine's game. He's gotten away from shooting so many threes. He still will take, his shot selection is an issue at times, but, there's fewer contested twos. He's going to the basket more, and his assist total is up. Over the last four games, he's had at least 25 points and five assists. And I think we're seeing some small growth and progress in his game in terms of realizing that scoring 25 points and doing nothing else isn't going to get us into the win column. And even though that really hasn't paid off in victories yet, I think that growth is a positive sign. And then in terms of Markkanen, he's had double-doubles in seven of his last eight games. Over his last eight, he's put up all-star-type numbers. I don't know if it's just a question of feeling 100% healthy after the elbow injury in training camp, but he's playing a lot better, and I think we're seeing a little bit of chemistry forming between those two guys. Now the issue is going to be, what are you going to do at point guard? Because Chris Dunn is sinking badly right now.
Do you like the smaller lineup with Markkanen at the five? Because I'm wondering if indeed they do buy out Robin Lopez, that gives you an opportunity to go with that group a little bit. And as Markkanen has gotten stronger, I don't see why he can't be, do some of the things that Giannis tries to do. Like I say, go in there, grab the rebound, and turn around and run with it.
Yeah, I actually do like that lineup. I think that's something that you're going to see a lot over the final 25 games of the season. I just feel like they look at Lowry as a guy who can play the five the way the modern game is going. He's a pretty good defensive rebounder. He can handle the ball a little bit, as you mentioned, so you can get those end-to-end possibilities. And he's a guy that probably would be a lot better at switching on high screen and roll than some of your traditional centers. I think that's a look they're going to go with a lot more often. And, if they were lucky enough to get Zion in this draft, you'd have four guys up front that you can kind of rotate and not worry about positions so much. And I think that would give them a lot of nice options, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And, of course, we've seen with Zion that he's a guy that works hard on the defensive end as well. I mean, the way he recovered and blocked that shot in the corner against Virginia last weekend, that was really impressive stuff.
Mark, wonder if you've had a chance to sit down over the last couple of weeks and think about who you'd pick for MVP at this point in the season yet, or if you're just kind of waiting to see how the last couple play out.
Yeah, I think you have to see how teams close out. I think right now James Harden is the favorite, just because of the amazing individual work that he's doing. But if the Rockets start to fade and drop down to 6-7-8 in the West, and that point streak starts to go a little bit, I think Giannis could still step in and win this thing. Milwaukee right now has the best record in the East. They'll be challenged down the stretch by, an improving Philadelphia team. Toronto made some good moves at the deadline, and I still am waiting for Boston to put it together. They did beat Philadelphia yesterday, which was an encouraging sign for that group. But I think we got four really strong teams in the East, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch that develop down the stretch. But I think right now it's pretty much a two-man race between Giannis and James Harden. And the one guy I think who has been underappreciated this year is Paul George, who's doing remarkable work.
He's been incredible. Yeah. We were talking about it off the air. I said Paul George has quietly become the player Jimmy Butler thinks he is.
Paul George is playing at the highest level of his career, which is pretty remarkable considering that catastrophic injury he had playing for USA Basketball. To come all the way back, and right now, you always hear in the highlight shows, you hear, Russell Westbrook had another triple-double, and sometimes getting lost in that is what Paul George is doing. He's on a phenomenal streak right now where he's scoring more than he ever has in his career. He also posted a triple-double in Oklahoma City's last game. And right now, if it wasn't for all the talk about James Harden, I think Paul George would be considered and should be considered a legitimate MVP candidate, because I think Oklahoma City is the second best team in the West, and they've done a really great job post KD of pulling that together, convincing Paul George to sign long term, and that's a really interesting team to watch. I don't think they're strong enough to pose a serious threat to Golden State, but what they've done is pretty impressive.
What's more a cold move, Russell Westbrook padding his stats to get as many triple-doubles as he had and trying to stay in the MVP conversation, or Michael Jordan saying six titles is tougher than anything these guys are doing?
Well, we know MJ's the king of petty. And, when he had that question, he was just thinking, well, what should I roll out of my resume and put those guys down? I mean, he could have just answered the question. I mean, it was a fair question with his status as many consider the greatest of all time. He could have made a choice, but instead he had to say, no, what I did was better. And, that was typical of Mike, but he doesn't get in front of the microphone very often. But because All-Star Weekend is in Charlotte, I guess we'll be getting a lot more of those kind of public boasts from Jordan over the weekend.
If indeed they're, and John Paxson was pretty upfront about this being a tryout for Chris Dunn, who you mentioned, I think the word sinking is the word that you used. So what's next at the point guard position? I don't think Ryan Arcidiacono is really a prospect. Do you let Zach LaVine handle the ball?
That's one option they could have, especially if they would end up getting a wing player like Barrett or Cameron Reddish in the draft. Then I think you'd have to really look at the way you want to go at it next season. I think their plan right now is to add another point guard either through free agency or the draft. And then either Dunn goes to the bench or Dunn gets traded and moved on to another team, because he's going to be eligible for an extension of his rookie deal this summer. And, you know, similar to what happened with Bobby Portis, the Bulls just decided that that was too rich for their blood. And if they don't look at Dunn as a, you know, top half of the NBA point guard, or if he falls to a reserve status, I think there'll be a tough time coming to an agreement on a contract extension, and then you have to look at the trade market. So there's a number of veteran guys that are going to be available this year, you know, the Ricky Rubios and Darren Collison's of the world. Of course, Derrick Rose is going to be a free agent as well. So there are guys out there that the Bulls could bring in as veterans. I know they've scouted John Morant, and they also like the kid from Vanderbilt, Darius Garland, a lot. He had a meniscus injury that ended his one season at Vanderbilt very early, but scouts still look at him as a top 10 type of talent. So there's going to be at least one, if not two, new point guards in camp next season. So I don't think they're going to immediately look at the possibility of moving LaVine to the point guard, but I know they like him as a secondary ball handler and a guy that can definitely handle the ball in fast break situations. So for the rest of this season, I think the ball will be in Zach's hands a lot, but I think there's going to be a couple new faces by the time training camp rolls around.
Dunn the kind of guy that would benefit from an open competition in camp to be the starting point guard, or would you rather just kind of cut bait and move on?
You know, I'm really confused by where he's at mentally right now. He, to his credit, he's one of the guys that is always faces the media after every game. But his comments are kind of all over the place. He seems defensive at times about people questioning, you know, his performance. I think right now he looks at it as he's a way above average talent, and the results on the court aren't really showing that. You know, he's mentioned after the last game that, well, I got to every spot I needed to on the court. I'm really confident in my ability to get to my spots. Well, you were 1-for-9. How much did that help you? And I think that the Bulls have charted this, and they know that they're not seeing what they want. They're not seeing him finish at the rim. They're not seeing, you know, what we saw in his first year before he took that pratfall in the Golden State game, where he was good at getting to the basket. He was getting to the free throw line. And we know that he's not a three-point shooter. So when you look at all the things you want in the point guard, really all he's doing right now consistently is bringing that defensive element where he can put pressure on the opposing team's point guard. But in the other areas on the offensive end, he's been lacking right now. So they're taking a hard look at this, and if he doesn't show some growth in the last month and a half of the season, you know, I think that they're going to be looking and making some changes this summer.
Mark, thank you as always.
All right, guys, we've got the All-Star break coming up, and we'll see what happens between now and next week.
Mark Schanowski of NBC Sports Chicago.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.